money, and particularly how we use it, what it says about us. And keep in mind that some of what is being shared is brought about by people that we can refer to as religious psychologists who have made a study of how material things brings out of us what is there, and how revealing not just having or not having money, but the way we use it, what it tells about us. Throughout the Bible, of course, we are given the hint. Some of the biblical character like Solomon, if you should read through the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he's one of those persons who tells what wealth can do to us and what it reveals about us. The treatment and the use of money and other material things tell and reveal character. That is a fact. How we treat the material things we have, how we use it, it tells about us in ways sometimes that we don't even realize. And this is why you find that people make study of it. Money is one of the most searching tests of character. That's another fact. Money is one of the most searching tests of our character. Very few things, if any, reveal character as money does. Money has a lot of power. Power that Christians should not permit it to have over us. Ninety percent of crime surrounds money. Be it crime on TV, crime in the society, it surrounds money. Notice too that it's not money per se that is the problem. It's our wrong attitude toward it. And if we can realize that and with the help of God develop a right attitude towards money and material things, part of our journey to heaven would have been made. The Bible makes a lot of broad statement on many subjects. But two of the broad statement it makes in reference to danger that we face, one is about the tongue, one is about money, there is a third two, and one is the power, that is the evil power of envy. That's right. I'll never forget, well over probably 20 years ago, I sat in a class where John R. Flowers, died now, was an elder, and they, in fact, he was probably among the most influential elder in that congregation that I've seen to this building and had supported me for years. And I sat in a class and he pointed out that envy is the most anti-God attitude. And as when he said it then, I thought over it. But as the years roll and as you look on human being and see how we behave, envy, the wise man Solomon said, who can stand before it? That's right, envy. The Bible says wherever you have envy, there are all sorts of sin. And then when it comes to money, let us read the passage, even though we know it, found in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let us hear from 6 to 10. And even though you know it, listen to it again. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10.
But godliness with contentment is great gain.
That's a great statement, too. Brothers and sisters, what you must aim for and aspire to in life is to be content. Don't tell yourself, if I could just get a lot of money. No, you can have a lot of money and be miserable. Ask the Almighty God to direct your life that you are contented. That means there is certain degree of satisfaction. It doesn't mean you will not try to make yourself better financially. So don't misunderstand. Where you see financial opportunity to make yourself better, go at it. And I'm talking honest opportunity. But don't ever make the mistake that getting a lot of money will automatically bring happiness. It does not. So ask the Almighty God to help direct your life that you will be a contented person. Godliness with contentment
is great.
It's not just gain. It's great. The word gain means achievement. It is great achievement. Read on.
For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out.
You see, what the inspired writer is hinting at is that, let us be content with the blessing that God gives us. While where opportunity presents itself, we strive to make ourselves better. And by making yourself better, the Bible teaches also that you are able to help others. We bring nothing into this world, and it matters not how much we accumulate here. We will take nothing out. It's just when Thursday or Friday, a person who has been helpful in a sense to me, I can say I'm a kind person, we were not as close a friend as I know he and Brother Walker was, but it was this, we were talking and Sister Walker said to me, Fang died. I was talking about him like he was alive. And she said, no, he died. I said, Fang died. And she said, yes. I think both she and Brother Walker went to the funeral. Because Singh and Fang, they are two brothers. They own Superval Supermarket. They are building that big complex on the right-hand side of the road, going up close to the tax office. The tax office is on the left. This big business complex is on the right. It belongs to the same owner of Supervalue. Up Ligani, they have a big complex there, and they are well established. But now, Fang and myself used to live here on Beacon Field Avenue. When we lived in Patrick City, at that time he was working at the bank. And then he and his brother first opened a little supermarket at the end of Manninger Road, small place. In fact, at that time, I didn't even know the other brother. But Brother Walker knew them from there, that little place, until they built the big Superval supermarket. But I remember when I was building my house in Forest Hill, he was one of the person that, because we got to know each other, that loaned me some money. That's right. You know, I borrow from Dick, Tom, and Harry. yes. And he loaned me some money. He was kind, and when I heard that he died, what came to me, and the reason I brought him up, you know, I said, what a thing, when death knocks at our door, it matters not how much money we have. Truly, here is the person who can afford the best doctor anywhere in the world. Yet when God call up your number and says, I'm calling you now to eternity, that money is of no help. We brought nothing into this, and it is certain we will take nothing out. That is a fact. Read on.
And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content.
You know, Paul must have been a great person. No, truly. Because for most of us, we are not content with mere food and raiment. Huh? As I've said here many times, that Jesus Christ asks us to pray for our daily bread. Huh? For most of us, we have weeks of bread, months of bread, and we still not content. But here is a man, Paul, that is saying, you have something to eat, and you are able to cover your nakedness. Go on like you are fly. Be a happy person. Huh? May God help us to achieve that type of trust in God, and not permitting the pursuit of material things to take away our happiness and our peace. Read on.
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts.
Everybody hear that? They that have... Your goal and aim in life is to be rich, to have a lot of money. That's your goal. The Bible says what happened to them?
they fall into temptation and a snare.
And a snare.
And into many foolish and hurtful lusts.
And many foolish and hurtful lusts.
Which drown men in destruction.
You get that? It drown us in destruction. That's why Satan used material things. In fact, I didn't remember to write down that quotation. We are even for the Christian. One book I was reading points out that a man or a woman of God will be going on quite stable, growing, and the moment wealth reaches that person, you see a different person. Before long, the person begins to feel independent of the Almighty God. What verse you are?
That was 9. First 9.
Let us hear 10.
For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith.
You hear? I've just said it. Why? The love, not money. It's not money is the root of all evil. It's when we have that abnormal love. When you see money as king, God, and it takes the place of God. The Holy Spirit in Paul says, it is the root of all evil. Here is it. This is what I've said, that the Bible makes some broad statement about things like money, the tongue, envy, that it makes in respect to no other sin. The love of money is the root of some evil.
All evil.
You see, this is pointing to the comprehensiveness of the danger that we face from having abnormal love for money. Money tends to bring the best and the worst out of man. That's another fact. The man or woman who can relate to money and maintain that equanimity, that balance. The man or woman who can have empty pocket and you are still at peace with yourself and with God and your fellow men. And you can have your bank account then pack up with money and you still maintain your equanimity. You are at peace with yourself, with the Almighty God and your fellow men. That tells a lot of positive things about you. This is what Paul meant when he said, I learned to be content in whatever state I find myself. He said, when I am abased, I am content. And he said, when I'm up there, I am content. It brings the best and it brings the worst out of us. The following are some of the ways in which money reveals and shows character. One. Just some of us, we relate to money with the tendency or inclination to hoard it. That's where we get our key. We don't see money as a means to an end. That's what it was meant to be. We see money as an end within itself. So this character, this man or woman, this brother or sister, is a person who just like to hoard it. They get money and their joy is not spending it. Are we there? This is not the wise outlook of saving. Where you have some funds, you have some responsibility to take care of, you take care of them, but you have something left over and you put it away. We are not talking about the person who saved. The person who hoard money is the person whose inclination is that of once the person put it away under the mattress, under the pillow, wherever in the bank, it matters not how much they are in need, they're not going to touch it. Because when they put away that money, it becomes sacred. That's where they get their kick, their joy from just knowing that they have it. Need come. They will not spend it. They will not touch it. They will not use it for anything. The religious psychologist said that this hoarding disposition reveals their acquisitiveness. I didn't say inquisitiveness, you know. So don't go and say, Brother Mitchell said money revealed. No, not inquisitiveness. It revealed their acquisitiveness. This person just want to have and acquire. That's where they get the key. They just want to know they have the money. And in fact, they are, should I use the word torment when they have to use it? Truly, even for personal things, food, they feel unhappy. Shouldn't we be glad when we need something, a necessity of life, and God provides the funds where we can? Well, this character who like to just make sure it save up. In fact, it is this character that out of which comes greed. Because greed or covetousness is where you want more and more and more. You are never satisfied. The psychologist said it revealed that disposition of acquisitiveness. They just want to have or acquire. Let me hear the passage of Proverbs 27:20.
Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied.
I like this passage. Here the wise man said, hell is never full. And he said, there are some people who are never satisfied. Huh? The person with this acquisitiveness, they want to acquire. They want to get. They want to have. And it matters not how much they have, they want more, and they are never satisfied. That's not good. Secondly, there are other men and women who spend wastefully. Huh? We talk about the spendthrift. This tendency towards money reveal, the psychologist tells us, reveal the person's sensuality. That's right. You and I probably have never thought of it that way, but when you look on it, the person who likes to just buy, spend, this is a manifestation of a sensual person, a person who loves, or as the psychologists word it, it's a love of self-indulgence. That's what is manifested when you see we cannot control our spending desire. We see something that we like, we do not have time to think about whether I need it or not. Sometimes you have a person who will end up buying two of the same shoes. They had one put away there and they didn't even remember, and they go out and say at the store, I like that. And they buy it. All to find out when they go home, they have the exact thing home. Sensuality, worldliness, love of self-indulgence. That is, there is the love of indulging self. This is not good either. Then there is also the third person, or the third category of attitude towards money and material things, but particularly money. There are others who use their money carefully and thoughtfully. This attitude reveals the cautiousness or the caution of this person. Here, this person is not a person who quit to spend. Neither is this person a person who is reluctant to spend. You know what? This person has to think it over. And this is a good attitude. It can also be, as one religious person points out, this thoughtfulness and carefulness in spending can be the power of the person's religious principle. The person may learn to be careful with whatever blessing God gives you. And finally, there is another person like this. There are those of whom Solomon speaks in Proverbs chapter 11, 24 and 25. Let us hear it again.
There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself.
You notice that the passage is describing two different characters. One of the characters is one that I mentioned, I think, first. Let us hear the passage again.
There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is
meet. That is the person who hoards, who accumulates, who don't want to use, even when need comes. That is the person who is selfish. Huh? The person who is mean. We ought not to be like that. The person who sees sharing like it is a curse. Let me hear it.
And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty.
That's right. Tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul
shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall water also himself.
This is, in fact, let me put it like this. By a person liberal, open-handed attitude towards giving, the person reveals his or her generous disposition. And even the religious psychologists point this out. That, and this is the attitude that God wants us to have. In fact, may I just drop here, brothers and sisters? You're some people who, they are kind, but they are foolishly kind. That's right. That's not too good, you know. You have the other person who is selfish and mean. That's not good either. Well, Brother Mitchell, isn't it that God make us so? So the person who is just foolishly liberal and the person who is selfish. You see, brothers and sisters, it all comes down to management. The person who knows that he or she is liberal, you tend to give. The Almighty God expects you to manage that liberality. That's right. The person who is selfish and mean and whore, once you discover you are like that and you know it's not good, it's not a Christ-like character, the Almighty God expects you to manage that too. For you to tell yourself that, no, I'm too selfish, I'm too mean. I need to be more helpful. I need to be a kinder person. Both sides of that, the Almighty God expects us to manage them. So the liberal, generous giver, this reveals the person's open and generous disposition. This is the disposition God wants us to have. May I? Just a final statement. The Almighty God finds out or brings to the surface. Since the last statement, I want to make sure you listen. The Almighty God in heaven finds out, and finds out is not the right term to use, because God knows us. So rather, the Almighty God brings to the surface the very depth of a person, of a man or a woman's nature, by giving to that person a greater or a less trust. Is it money, house, land? The Almighty God brings to the surface when He gives us either little of it, and that going to bring out what is in me or you, or when He chooses to give us enough of it. Any way you take it, if God gives us little, it going our attitude towards that little brings on the surface the character that we really are. If God chooses to give us not of anything, that also brings to the surface what is the depth of our soul. And any, rather God give not or little, He used that for what is in us to come out. My cliche I learned many years ago, circumstances does not make the man, it reveals the man. And that is a fact. That is a fact. You saw him at Moses since him get that big job. No, the big job didn't make him bossy. It was there all the time. It only brings out what was there. And so is money, much or little. It is one of the best revealer of character. May God help us to have a right attitude towards money.